It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, what can hillbilly squids teach us about Appalachia?
They take the stereotype and they turn it like all the way up to 11. And it becomes so silly and so surreal that you can't help but, you know, laugh at it.
We'll find out in just a few minutes. First, this coronavirus update. This is West Virginia Morning. With cases of the coronavirus expected to spike in West Virginia in the coming weeks, the state will delay its primary election. Dave Mistich has more.
West Virginia's primary election had been scheduled for May 12th. But with public health concerns heightened, Governor Jim Justice announced at a Wednesday virtual news conference that the primary will instead be pushed back to June 9th. The Secretary of State's office announced last week that all 1.2 of the state's registered voters would be sent an application for an absentee ballot. Election officials said voters could use the pandemic as a reason to vote absentee. Justice and Secretary of State Mack Warner both said Wednesday that the absentee ballot initiative will remain in place. They said early voting dates will also be adjusted based on the new date for Election Day. State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey said the governor has the legal authority to move the election, given the state of emergency and the threat at hand. While the primary election cycle has been in full swing for months, more than a dozen states have pushed back their elections as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
During Wednesday's press conference, Justice also announced all West Virginia schools will remain closed through April 30. State officials are reporting a second coronavirus-related death in West Virginia. The Department of Health and Human Resources released a press release Wednesday evening from the Jackson County Health Department confirming the state's second fatality. Jackson County officials didn't offer any personal details, but said the patient had several underlying health issues and died in the hospital. Officials offered sympathies to the patient's family and urged residents to stay home to slow the spread of the virus. As of Wednesday evening, state officials reported 191 confirmed cases of COVID-19. Here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, we're asking our audience to reach out to us and share stories of hope, inspiration, and resilience in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. In Huntington, the Marshall University School of Pharmacy has been making FDA-approved hand sanitizer to help nonprofits who are quickly running out. We spoke with Dr. Kim Bray-Dolzog, who is the chair of pharmacy practice, administration, and research.
Well, we found out that some of our charities in town, mainly the City Mission and Harmony House, who take care of a lot of homeless folks, have run out of hand sanitizer. So we decided we would use some materials that we had on hand and make them some through the USP and FDA approved recipes for hand sanitizer, which we did. And then other people heard about it and we made a little bit more for some other folks. So we made some for the VA Medical Center, the police and the fire department, our first responders. We made quite a bit for them. And then we'll be taking some to River Park Hospital as well. We are providing it free of cost. We put it on Facebook that because we took some pictures of some students and such that were helping us and wanted to showcase them a little bit. And now that we have gotten further into the social distancing and our school is more or less closed to students coming in and out and everything is being done online, today it was the dean and I who made up the hand sanitizer just so we wouldn't have a lot of people in the room with us. And we did hear from quite a few people that would really like to have some of this, and we're able to provide some for charities and that sort of thing. So as many that we can provide for, we do.
That was Dr. Kim Bray-Dolzog from the Marshall University School of Pharmacy. You can find them online at marshall.edu/pharmacy. If you have a story of hope or resilience in the face of COVID-19, please share your story with us. You can email a voice memo to klofton@wvpublic.org, or you can leave a voicemail on our tip line at 1-800-633-4560. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Areas of frost this morning, becoming mostly sunny today, highs in the 50s. Clear skies tonight with lows in the 30s. Mostly sunny through the weekend, daytime highs in the 50s and 60s. Overnight lows in the 30s and 40s. Support for WVPB is provided by Marshall Health, providing comprehensive primary and specialty care throughout southern West Virginia and the tri-state region. More at marshallhealth.org. On the most recent episode of Inside Appalachia, associate producer Eric Douglas spoke to Chuck Reese, the host of the Bitter Southerner podcast. The hour-long show is an offshoot of the popular online magazine devoted to the culture of the South. It is produced with the support of Georgia Public Broadcasting. A recent episode featured conversations with writers who contributed to Appalachian Reckoning, a region response to Hillbilly Elegy. The book, published in 2019, is a counterpoint to J.D. Vance's controversial memoir, Hillbilly Elegy. Podcast host Chuck Reese explores the reasons why many Appalachians were offended by Vance's book. Here's an excerpt from that show.
In the months when Hillbilly Elegy sat firmly atop all the bestseller lists, conversations began among many native Appalachians and among some academics who were fascinated by the region even though they didn't grow up there. Two of these people were Meredith McCarroll, a North Carolina mountain woman who is now the director of the Writing and Rhetoric Program at Bowdoin College in Maine, and Anthony Harkins, a non-Appalachian steeped deeply in the region through his work as a history professor at Western Kentucky University. And their conversations led them to assemble a book called Appalachian Reckoning, A Region Responds to Hillbilly Elegy. Appalachian Reckoning includes 40 voices: white, Puerto Rican, black, queer, straight, trans, activists, teachers, preachers, artists, sociologists, historians, legal scholars, literary scholars, and organizers. About half of them are women, and every damn one of them is Appalachian.
Reese doesn't shy away from topics that can be awkward to discuss. In another episode, he explores how stereotypes are used to crack jokes about Appalachians on a cartoon called Squidbillies, an animated show that airs on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. He discussed how Squidbillies and maybe even comedy in general helps us unpack what the world talks about Appalachia and how we Appalachians talk about ourselves.
One of my favorites that you did, just because I laughed through the whole thing, was your special episode between season one and season two of the podcast about the Squidbilly show.
Yeah, that was so much fun to do.
Oh, I bet. I mean, yeah, you could hear it just listening to it. Yeah, I'm sure you were just laughing the whole time. Let's listen to a clip from the show about the Squidbillies.
If you're unaware, the Cartoon Network has a sort of late night mini network called Adult Swim, and Squidbillies is one of Adult Swim's longest running shows.
The church should be taught in the schools, and the schools should be part of the damn church. Now, you might say, Biggie, hey, you quit schooling in the second grade. That's right.
That was the voice of Early Kyler, the granddaddy in a family of what they call anthropomorphic mud squids, who live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Georgia, exactly where I grew up.
And I know it's not, you didn't create it, so I'm not going to ask you to explain that.
Lord have mercy, no.
And it's explained well in the podcast, though. But how do you think, how do they handle those stereotypes? And they hit some of them some of the rawest, ugliest stereotypes about Appalachia, but they do it in a way that people from Appalachia aren't getting offended. I mean, they've been doing it 15 years. But, I mean, it's funny, but we don't take it personally. And as compared to a J.D. Vance and Hillbilly Elegy, I thought
right.
I thought it was interesting. And I don't know if it's just using the humor or if they've got real people doing real accents or what. I don't know. But how do they manage that?
Well, I'm still not sure I know the answer, even though I've spent more than an hour talking to them. You know, I think they've got a particular gift, the two creators of that show, you know, because they take the stereotype and they turn it like all the way up to 11. And it becomes so silly and so surreal that you can't help but, you know, laugh at it. I mean, it's not a show for everybody by any means, but, you know, I mean, it was amazing that night, because we did that here at the studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting, and we had an audience of maybe 100 people. And I was amazed at how many people showed up who literally had, like, talked about how they had grown up on Squidbillies.
You're from the foothills of Appalachia. You're the southern end of the Appalachian mountain chain. What's different and what's the same about those two regional groups?
I wrote about this in the Appalachian Reckoning episode. You know, all the people of Appalachia essentially came down from ports in the Northeast or in Virginia. Right. And over the years, they filtered their way into the mountains. And I think there's an essential difference between the sort of people who would be drawn to a more isolated existence in the mountains, where isolated existences are easy to maintain, than people who were drawn to the hubbub of the cities. You know, the media stereotype says that the Appalachian is a loner. Well, you go find me a bunch of people who will more fiercely defend their small community than people in the Appalachian Mountains. Over the years of doing the Bitter Southern, as I've gotten to know and had the chance to interview more and more people from farther up in Appalachia, the more I recognize how there's so much cultural commonality from all the way up UR all the way down to Springer Mountain down here. And we all face commonality from all the way up UR.
That was Chuck Reese, the editor of Bitter Southerner and the host of the magazine's podcast. He was speaking with Eric Douglas. There's a link on our website where you can hear the full episode about Squidbillies, which features some of the voices behind the Cartoon Network show. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.